get to do that too. We're back in session. We have item 6D. We are looking at staff request board consideration to declare accessory parcel. You can do all that part. Thank you for being here.
Joanne Johnson, project coordinator for county administration. So in 2021, the board approved basically designating this Mott Road parcel as surplus land and allowing us to move forward with finding a new owner. And this resolution is reconfirming that this property is surplus land. The APN is 030-230-460-000. It's in Dunsmuir near the airport. And this resolution would allow us to transfer the parcel to the city of Dunsmuir. It would delegate transactional authority to the county administrator, find this action exempt, and basically if this is approved, we will send the resolution to California Housing and Community Development for final approval, and then we will finalize the transfer.
Okay. So we have the resolution in front of us. What kind of discussion do we need to have here?
I'll make the motion and the second discussion.
All right.
And when Natalie Reed County Council, before we do, just for the record, it appears that there's no public comment in house or out of house. Since it was noticed for public comment, so just to make sure we do that part.
Okay, we have a second?
Yeah.
Yes, I've got both a motion and a second. And if we're ready, I'll go ahead and call for the vote.
Please do.
Okay, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Hout.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobson.
Aye.
And Supervisor Ogre.
Aye. Moving on. We're going to talk about wolves.
So, Joanne Johnson, project coordinator, county administration. So, there's been a lot of activity on the gray wolf issue in the last few weeks. As the board already knows, California Fish and Wildlife carried out a lethal take order from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, removing four gray wolves in Sierra Valley after there were 87 confirmed or probable wolf-caused livestock losses between March and October of this year. Since this occurred, there have been a lot of meetings on this topic, and a couple weeks ago, Supervisor Harris and I attended a meeting in Modoc County where leaders working on the lethal take shared their experience. The safety of livestock producers was highlighted along with the coordination effort between stakeholders. And I know that other supervisors and groups have been working on this issue as well. So I'd like to invite Jim Smith, our Ag Commissioner, to share some updated information on wolf happenings in Siskiyou County.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Chair Orman. Add orders. I didn't forget. Mr. Pat Griffin is on vacation, well-deserved vacation. He's hunting in Montana. So I'm filling in for him today. And these are the statistics that I have to share with you. Can't read them. Estimated number of well-backpacked members at the current time are 10 pups, 6 adults. So that gives you an estimated pack size of 16. There isn't any confirmation of whether all of those pups survived. There's a likelihood that they did. There are 3 that were seen moving towards Scott Valley, and there have been some depredations over there that raised some concern. Turns out they were not wolves. So we don't know if Scott Valley is currently harboring any wolves at this time, but it's possible. Total number of predations confirmed and probable. 21 confirmed this year, 104 total since 2021. As I don't need to tell you, most of those are being taken on a few ranches. Martins, for example, are bearing the brunt of this. Table Rock Ranch. There were quite a few depredations that weren't available for investigation. And there were some reasons for that. One of them was there wasn't any entrance by the rancher. They just figured it was a cost of doing business. Two, made their own judgments on whether it was a depredation or not, or whether the carcass was going to be able to be used as an investigative tool. They thought it might have been too eaten and spread out. In a couple cases where some pictures were taken, that wasn't the case. And then three, in some cases there was no access to Pat Griffin or my trappers to do the investigation. My trappers, and I've had discussed with Pat and I quite a bit about stress deaths, which aren't counted as part of the depredations that we have. Stress deaths are occurring from constant harassment by the wolf packs. They're also occurring when they get run quite a bit. So you got constant running of some of these animals, and they're not bred to do that. And so they die of a heart attack or something else like that. No evidence of depredation, and no compensation is available because of that. And we don't have accurate numbers on the numbers of livestock that have been lost to that factor. Also, there's been a lot of ranchers reporting low return numbers from the rangelands and their allotments. And there's no documented evidence what caused that, but it's exceeding their averages in a lot of cases, which means that probably was some depredation occurring out there. And that's not being cataloged either or tracked. There are some good news. There is some good news out there, though. On Saturday, we had increased collars on wolves. I don't know if you've heard that yet. They recollared the alpha female in the Wellback pack. Her collar was getting pretty old and about ready to run out of battery power. They collared two pups and a yearling. So that gives us six collars for the whole Wellback pack. And that's a benefit, a big benefit. It will help us know where those wolves are going to be moving within Siskiyou County and outside of it, because there may be some dispersal. That's a pretty big wood pack. They did try to collect some more on this Sunday, but they were unsuccessful. Reports from our, wildlife specialists report there have been sightings near citizens. One rancher reported them running through their backyard near their dwellings. And a lot of reports have occurred where ranchers are out riding, shadowing their herd, being shadowed by the wolf packs. I'd also like to point out that most of the work being done on all this investigation to obtain compensation is being done by our department, not by the Wildlife City FW. And it's about 30% of the cost of my predatory program is being assigned to wolf work. I just thought I'd tell you that. You have any questions?
Fight over it.
I'm just going to go on to 30%. So we're kind of doing the work for one of the agencies. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
So we should be pushing to get compensation for that, whether it's the state or the feds. We are pushing for that? How aggressively?
Very aggressively.
And what's the success rate?
Zero so far, but I have a lot of hopes for the future. We have some new things in the works. I'd prefer not to share.
I get that part, but it's bad enough that we have to deal with it, but we shouldn't have to pick up the cost for it as well.
I agree with that 100%. And I do, we are working on that.
Are state representatives, federal and state representatives, aware of the push for reimbursement or cost recovery?
Not that I know of.
Is that something that should be pushed?
Not yet.
Okay, thank you. Get it.
Yep. Who's the current wolf coordinator? Not Who's the current state wolf person?
Axel.
Honeycutt, Axel Honeycutt.
Yeah. Axel Honeycutt.
Yes.
Could you tell him that I get zero information from him?
No. We get information from Axel, and he's able to share it. We have a biologist named Nathan that's down south, not quite in Sacramento, who is pretty helpful also about providing information. That information is provided in the past, sometimes outside of the normal 8 o'clock in the morning availability online. I don't know, you can get caller information, location information from CDFW on their website at 8 a.m. in the morning, and that reports after they do their daily report from the callers, you know, it bounces up. And it gets posted on the website for everybody to look at. Pat sometimes gets information prior to that directly from the biologist, Nathan. Sometimes not. It's been a little bit disjointed in the reports that he gets at times. We're working on that also, in the same conversations that we're having about compensation. So,
well, the wolf, like the report in Scott Valley, honestly, in the last, well, since Tim Bowden left, I get more information on Facebook than I do from the agency.
Now, I'm pretty sure Pat gets a lot more than you guys get.
Well, I'd sure like to know if there's something scrolling through Scott Valley.
So I can tell you for a fact that CDFW doesn't know that at the moment. So okay. Any of those wolves that were heading towards Scott Valley didn't have callers on.
Okay.
You know, we have 6 callers now, so we'll be a little better informed.
Okay.
And if some of our conversations come to fruition, it will be even better. So we'll see how that turns out.
Okay. The other question I had is, are you aware of any entity that's pursuing legal action against the listing because this wolf is not endangered or is not indigenous to California?
No, I'm not. Grace? Mm-hmm. No, Grace is not either. So.
Why? Do you know?
Because
California law should not have been listed to begin with.
My name is Grace Woodmancy. I'm Livestock Natural Resources Advisor for Siskiyou County Cooperative Extension. I believe that there are some organizations that are pursuing legal action, but not specifically the listing status for other reasons.
It would be nice to know what those other reasons are because
it's in the works, right? I mean, it's just preliminary at this point. Infancy.
Yes. Yeah. I'd love to talk to you more after.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Are you done?
I'm done.
So, with regard to the wolf sightings in Scott Valley that essentially have been confirmed, from what I understand, are we taking any DNA samples to see if it's part of this pack or not?
So, the sightings that were confirmed are the wolves heading towards.
Come back up to the podium.
Can you come
please?
Back to the podium?
Oh.
I know. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry about that. The wolf sightings were heading toward Scott Valley from Gazelle area. So there's no confirmation that any got to Scott Valley yet.
I have different information that was sighting in the valley.
Me too.
And so we should, and I think Patrick is aware of it.
Well, I am too.
Okay.
I know who told you that.
Okay. So. And I'm just curious if we're testing any kind of DNA testing of any kind to find out if it's part of the whale back pack or if it's a new pack starting.
We have not yet.
Okay.
If we have a depredation over there that looks like it's a wolf, they will be doing that. Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you.
So we also have a public safety resolution that can be discussed and voted on today. And I provided a red line version to the board and the clerk, and there's also some copies up front. And I'll read through the adjusted paragraphs. combined with documented depredations, wolf pack population growth, and escalating livestock conflicts poses an ongoing threat to livestock and to public safety as cattle return to winter range, and also presents a significant human health and safety concern for livestock producers who experience emotional trauma, unsustainable work hours spent protecting their herds, and substantial economic loss resulting from repeated wolf depredation. The next whereas, number 9, whereas in addition to these direct harms, wolves cause indirect economic impacts, including disrupted grazing patterns, reduced weight gain, and lower reproductive success, creating substantial challenges for local ranching operations and requiring ranchers to alter their operations to avoid wolf activity, which further increases costs and compounds existing economic losses. And whereas number 15, which is on page 2, whereas in 2025, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, with authorization from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, lawfully removed wolves from Sierra Valley after documenting repeated confirmed livestock depredations, substantial economic loss to local producers, and the failure of available non-lethal deterrence. And whereas number 16, whereas current California law provides legal avenues for the legal removal of specific apex predators, including black bears and mountain lions, when such animals pose an imminent threat to public safety or have been confirmed to have killed livestock, similar authority should likewise be extended to allow the lawful removal of gray wolves that demonstrate hazardous habituated behavior or that are confirmed to be habitual livestock killers. And then this is the first, therefore be it resolved. Now, therefore be it resolved that the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors hereby declares a local state of emergency due to the public safety risks, the significant economic losses, and the adverse human health and safety impacts on livestock producers resulting from the increasing presence and ongoing depredation activity of gray wolves in and around Siskiyou County. And so the second, be it further resolved, that the board respectfully requests that the California Fish and Game Commission, in coordination with the Governor of California and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, initiate immediate regulatory changes, recognizing that the Siskiyou County Sheriff and the Siskiyou County Wolf Liaison possess the authority to investigate suspected wolf depredations, document and confirm livestock kills, and provide an official determination that a specific identified wolf is a habituated livestock depredator, and that such determinations shall be formally considered in authorizing the removal of that animal under clear, lawful, and transparent procedures. And the third, be it further resolved that the board respectfully requests that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, in coordination with the President, initiate immediate regulatory changes, formally recognizing that the Siskiyou County Sheriff and the Siskiyou County Wolf Liaison possess the authority to investigate suspected wolf depredations, document and confirm livestock kills, and make an official determination that a specific identified gray wolf is a habituated livestock depredator and public safety threat, and that such determinations shall be directly considered in authorizing the removal of that animal under clearly defined lawful procedures. And be it further resolved that the Board of Supervisors of the County of Siskiyou requests the immediate intervention from the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to address this rapidly escalating emergency, including providing funding for the Siskiyou County Wolf Liaison position, improving information sharing and collaboration with cooperating agencies, providing daily GPS cluster data on both private and public lands used for livestock production, providing wolf collar radio telemetry frequencies directly to the wolf liaison to better track and locate wolves, and inform livestock producers on wolf locations so they can take protective measures. Ending prolonged blackout periods on wolf location data once cattle enter mountain rangeland. Ensuring prompt review of depredation reports with timely compensation to affected ranchers. And providing sustained financial support for county staff and ongoing wolf-related mitigation and response. And so that's the end of the edited paragraphs. Is there any motion to approve or any comments or edits from the board?
So I would just like to say I think you did a good job on the resolution. And I appreciate your investment and time in learning the complexities of this issue. So obviously I support the resolution, but I definitely think we need further direction in the moving forward, you know, outside of the resolution here. Some things I would really like to see is I've proposed some tree line mapping, you know, that you and I have discussed to kind of create like a hard line, you know, this is where, you know, wolves coming into the valley. I mean, I just had a constituent with a wolf in a yard, two evenings ago, where three kids reside. You know, we just had the thing at Grass Lake, and everybody's like, oh, you know, but they're not paying attention to the fact that wolves are trying to feed and kill 250 yards from a state highway, and within a mile of a state rest area where what's happening is visible from the rest area. You know, there's no signage warning patrons, hey, like, don't let your kids out on the lawn because you don't know where the wolves are, or your little dog. So I think by creating this mapping, we create a very definitive, like, hey, these are wild wolves that are in the woods. These ones that are encroaching within the valleys and inside of this line are obviously habituated. You know, if you looked at the tracker yesterday, you know, they were right there at the top of Davis Road, right there within, you know, the housing perimeters that, you know, a wild animal's not going to do that. You know, it's just like a mountain lion. When a mountain lion comes into to town, it's not a wild animal. You know, it's habituated. It's comfortable with people. It's comfortable with barking dogs. This needs to be very similar. I think that we need to be doing our own DNA testing. After several of these meetings with Sierra Valley participants, it's very clear that as an entity, we can't trust California Department of Fish and Wildlife's data. We know that they're withholding data. So I think it's important that we start collecting some of our own data through SCAT, through the depredations, things like that. In that DNA testing, I would really like to test for, I'm going to screw up the word, hydatid disease? Is that how you say that? It's spores within their feces and stuff like that, and you can come into contact with it and actually develop cysts within the body. So we need to be testing to make sure that that's not present here. So I think that DNA testing is extremely important. And I'm kind of at a point after seeing Sierra Valley's issue that I'm finding myself more and more support of demanding that CDFW does send a task force here, but under the stipulation that they are in full cooperation and data sharing with our liaison and with our ag department. I think that task force collected more data than what their local resources could have done by themselves. And I think it opened some eyes. And so I think that if we had, you know, demanded the task force, like what they, you know, had promised to give us, that working conjunctively with our liaison and sharing that data and being able to collect more data more rapidly, I think could be very beneficial for us. You know, we're getting to a point now where it's like, we can't just continue to drag this out. Like, we need a resolve to this issue. Wolves need to remain wild. Our people need to remain protected. And, you know, right now it's at a point where all these losses, I begin to take them personally. You know, it's primarily my constituents over there that are losing. You know, I hear a lot of talk about compensation, reimbursement. That's a non-starter for me because, one, you can't effectively even begin to calculate it. You can't calculate your weight loss. You can't calculate your preg rate decrease. You can't, correlate what they're even, you get what, 1 out of 8 that are confirmed kills. So you're just donating 7. You can't predict your futures on cows and heifers. You don't know how many, offspring they would have had in the duration of their life cycle. You can't account for your genetic loss. You learned about that yesterday. Some of the money that's put into genetics on some of these animals. So for one, it's not factorable. And two, the state can't afford it. I mean, anybody that pays any attention to politics understands that this state is in a bad way. So they can't even, they can't write a blank check that it's going to take to try to make our people whole. And if they're not making our people whole, I'm not satisfied. And they can't. And so we need to look at other mechanisms that fix this problem. Not kick the can down the road, but truly fix this problem. And I believe that through your resolution, which I thought was fantastic, through this potential mapping, being able to illustrate what's wild and what's not, and then using a task force in our own DNA testing to put as much data on paper as quickly as we can with what we currently have, I think is important. And I know there were concerns about producers and being able to put points on a map based on the depredations and stuff like that. Every single producer that I've spoken to and explained that we're not dealing with CDFW on this has been extremely supportive. My vision here, and I can't speak for everyone else, but my vision here is to work directly through U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which I spoke with yesterday, and get resolved for our constituents. And as you can tell, I'm very passionate about this. We need to resolve immediately, and I think that this is the way forward to get that done.
Come on up, Jim.
I got a couple of comments. Not disagreeing with you at all. We need to have a meeting after this probably to talk about some of this, but a task force might be counterproductive at this point in time. Another bit of information is that there haven't been any compensation checks written since August. And we probably knew that, but that's not very ethical for a department that is supposed to be paying back these feeders of quotes. And I just really want to reiterate, some of the things we're working on right now could be impacted if we get too carried away here. The cattlemen's are working on a permission slip to gather data that would allow a map of private information to come out. This I asked about. So we're moving forward on some of those arenas already. Some of that might be a little bit counterproductive. I need to make sure we have some conversations about that prior to implementing it. Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate everything you said, and I support everything you said, but I want to get back to the resolution before we get into some more.
I'm going somewhere else.
You're going somewhere else as well?
Yeah.
So I'd like to, for the moment, stick with the resolution. I'm fine with it. I support it. Unless there's questions around that, but there's more that I want to add to this dialogue, but I want to stick with this before we get lost.
Fabulous.
I'm fine with the resolution. Too, and I support it, but I do have.
I get it.
Can we get through the resolution, then we can go into the dialogue?
I will make a motion to pass the resolution
second.
And continue discussion.
Okay.
We
got a motion and a second on the resolution. Let's roll with that.
Do that question first. And that is to adopt the resolution. Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Howe.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Copsett.
Aye.
And Supervisor O.
Aye. Okay, moving on.
Wherever you want to go.
To my left.
Okay, so the mapping thing I think is critical. I think it's something to have internally for our own data, if that's at all possible, through our GIS guy. if the ranchers begin to start providing information to us voluntarily, there might be a good way for us to map that out internally. I know that with Sierra Valley, their key to success was data that they had derived from what they collected on their own. So they had evidence and data to be able to push back a bit on what was really going on.
Through the chair,
yes.
Joe Davis, County Administrator. Within our agenda packet, we do have maps that were created that have just a base map imagery, and we do have them here that we can post up, just so that folks have an understanding of what you're talking about, okay, with the mapping that Supervisor Harris had mentioned, as well as what Supervisor Kopsep is supporting.
So, okay, point of clarification, we're talking about cluster points or GIS?
That GIS boundary.
Go ahead and put them up.
So when she puts the map up, it's a very clear image of what's the woods and what's ranches, homes, and the valley.
So you're just talking about locations of boundaries, not actual points of...
Well, no, so you use that, and then you start incorporating depredation pinpoints, sighting pinpoints, cluster data to start showing whether those wolves are remaining wild in the woods or whether they're encroaching within humanity, essentially. And so then it's not subjective to whoever, you know, wants to determine. It's very clear, like, once they're out here, they're in the Martin's backyard. And then we are able to then show, like, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, look, like, they're not, you know, part of Sierra Valley was the wolves were going to the mountains and coming back into the valley every day to feed on cattle. And we're going to experience the same thing this winter. And so, by able, you know, you can see the perimeters on the, I mean, it's pretty clear what's the woods and what's not. And by being able to show U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, look, they're coming in the valley every single day to feed on cattle, then that's where they establish the public safety perimeter. Like I talked about Grass Lake, within 250 yards of a state highway, within direct eyesight of a state rest area, that's not a wild animal. And that's what we're going to have to prove to get resolved through U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
So I support this concept. I know that we're going to have to work out those details, but I support that concept. And then just for the rest of my board members, this has been a real awkward issue. I don't know how else to say that. I know the board appointed Supervisor Harris and myself to work on the wolf issue. I'm also the vice chair of the Predatory Species Management Committee for RCRC. And we are working with on this issue as well. And I need kind of a venue to be able to provide the information to the rest of the board, but also get information that I can take to my committee and to my meetings with regard to what's going on, so that, you know, one hand knows what the other's doing, so we're in concert. And that we're not in conflict. The other thing is, through council, there is dialogues that have sensitivity to them that necessarily don't get into the public realm immediately. And some of that I can't share openly to the rest of my board, and I need a venue to be able to provide that information to the board as well, whether that's through you directly or if that's closed session. I don't know how that will work, but as this is ongoing, I need to know, have direction on how to be able to deal with that.
And we can have further discussions offline about that.
Okay.
You done?
Yeah, for now.
Okay.
Maybe this is Jim, I don't know, maybe it's Grace.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm curious about is my involvement in this has always been focused so much on California Fish and Wildlife. What has the role been with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service with these wolf issues? Because as I watch the wolves chasing Martin's cows around the Grass Lake, what is running through my head is, that's not state land, that's federal land. And there's a federal nexus with their grazing permit there that should have some federal involvement and some federal coordination associated with that. But all I ever hear is the dominance of the California State Fish and Game. So have they been involved, or are they just looking the other way, or what's going on with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service? And I have a follow-up.
Grace Woodmancy, again, calling on the question from Supervisor Haupt about how involved U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services has been in this issue. My understanding is that they became involved during the Sierra Valley's issues this summertime, and the Sierra Valley stakeholders have made a good point of contact and a couple different folks through the feds. But that it is very important for the federal agency to be working in conjunction with the state agency to make sure that they're on the same page. So I think the federal folks are involved, are engaged. Paul Souza is speaking at California Cowmen's Association Convention this December to be more engaged with the ranching community, but I know that it's very important to not just move ahead only on the federal side, but to keep the state agency engaged. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but a minute, and I understand that. I knew that's what you were gonna say. My next question, though, is I know the federal government is actively pursuing delisting. Should that happen on federal land, what's going to happen with those grazing permits? Who's going to be the enforcer? And the reason I ask that is because it is a jurisdictional issue that this board is going to have to wrestle with, because the nexus for illicit fish on federal land is only because they're in the waters of the state. Okay, but once you're outside the waters of the state and you have a state-listed species on federal land, the federal law prevails.
That's an easy question.
Well, but it's something we're going to struggle with in the very near future. And the reason I bring it up is this exactly. Because that wolf, I don't disagree with anything you say there, but if you've ever administered a range permit and a range program, you know that those old cows that are getting killed are the ones that are trained to be in specific places at certain times of the year, and it affects utilization on the range, and that range permit comes on and off date, as well as the number of cattle that they're allowed to put on the allotment. So sooner or later, the agencies are gonna have to get involved in this, because it's negatively affecting my producers, and not just in the fact that there's depredation.
Secondary effects might be landscape issues for a wildfire also.
Can you see me
too? Yes. Come on up.
I'm
come
not
up.
Sure I want anybody else to hear.
Oh.
Well, that's part of the issue, you know. We need to all be on the same page at the table. Mm-hmm. You know, and I get our supervisor pops up, but you know, I'll tell you, someone as a third party, which you raised. I'm sure the state's wrestling with that same question. How are we going to administrate that when 63% of 62 counties on federal land? Mm-hmm. Now, I did the tour with and saw the little pumps or whatever. They're not going away. Yeah, I mean, so how are we going to manage that? And I want to believe, because the state was forced to do something in Sierra Valley, Sierra County. Mm-hmm. Supervisor Rohn, who you know well, Supervisor Copsa, too bad he was not at the last NORTEC meeting, but I was hoping to have the conversation with him, because it's not cut black and white here. It's going to be a huge spectrum as administrations change. Yeah, they want to delist now, but what happens 4 or 5 years from now? I mean, I don't know. How are we handling it now? I remember, I won't mention that, but the fact of the matter is, it's going to take getting everyone at a table and agreeing how we're moving forward. And that means getting Fish and Wildlife here. Let's get Patrick Griffin back up here and give us an update of where we are. I saw a text trail where they did some collaring. They probably got to do more. I know Patrick mentioned they got to do real time letting the ranchers know that they're in the backyard, mm-hmm. not a week later. Yeah. I think there are things that can be done that can start alleviating, because you're never getting rid of the problem.
Well, I'm not advocating getting rid of it. What I'm advocating is being able to deal with it. And the listing is what prevents the...
And my only point was that the state and the federal government have to figure out how they're going to administer them.
Exactly.
I have a little different perspective here. Grace is very wise and very tactful. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are the ones that declared they were going to take the woods out for public safety, and they were prepared to do that themselves. CDFW, to save face, actually requested the feds to allow them to do it, and they boggled it up pretty bad because they don't use experts to do the work that are available. Wildlife Services, for example, are experts at that. But there's some interface with some of the feds, federal entities, with CDFW that doesn't seem to be teamwork. I was going to pass that along. If we continue to have depredations and some of the ranchers move off of their allotments, which I've heard several claim that they're not going to turn their cows out next year, who's going to eat down the landscape? You know, you're going to be looking at more landscape-capable wildfires going forward, too, because we do not have any deer or elk, and the antelope population has dropped drastically over the last bunch of years, too. So you have that to consider also. Some of my counselors, my mentors, tell me that if you dropped a lot of the predators down, the deer population would probably take 10, 20 years before it became healthy again.
We didn't have a population before it started. We didn't have a population before it started.
That's true. And now we have another apex predator on top of things. I deal with that interface with the federal government and a lot of my dealings on federal lands with state laws going forward. In some cases, they have an agreement where they abide by state laws as well as with federal requirements. And so that makes it a little bit easier. But in a lot of cases, it becomes another agency that gets referred into the situation that I get involved in. So that's a really good question. Hopefully it's a good answer when you get it resolved. Thank you.
And I get it.
So to answer a few things on that, I was at the Family Water Alliance event in Colusa Saturday night. Guest speaker was Paul Sousa. So we had a dialogue. He is coming to Siskiyou County. So we'll be engaged on that front. In the Predatory Species Management Committee, this dialogue that we're talking about today is coming up in that dialogue as well. Grazing permits are part of what we're talking about as well. Nothing that you're covering isn't already on the radar for how it goes forward. But ultimately, from everything I have found out so far, one, this resolution that we passed today is key for U.S. Fish and Wildlife. I don't want to call it a tool, but it helps. Because prior to this, there were only four counties that had these resolutions. Sierra County was one of them. Cattlemen's, at our first meeting for the Predatory Species Committee, let it be known that counties that passed these resolutions provided assistance for U.S. Fish and Wildlife to engage. And then, I guess, lastly, somehow, and I think it's starting maybe through Cattlemen's, Grace might know better, or through, I know, the Berkeley outfit that's here, we need to develop some type of a template that's easy to use for cattlemen that want to be able to report what's going on. Supervisor Harris and I received information yesterday from one rancher that identifies what it costs to pull out of their winter or summer range, and it's substantial. But it's documented. And that's the kind of information we're going to need to be able to push back on, you know, how do I say, coexist. Well, we're trying to coexist, but we can't get the information to coexist. Our ranchers have just been left, and even our wolf liaison, Patrick, an ag commissioner. I mean, I found out this summer that they had a 100-mile blackout over the denning area. Well, that's the whole of Siskiyou County. So that information wasn't getting to our ranchers either. So I think the department knows all this now, and I think we're moving in the right way to engage in a way that should be beneficial to our ranching community and hopefully get the problem resolved. Because, you know, time is of the essence now, especially with as large as this pack is. And we're just going to have to keep going down this path. But communication amongst our board members is going to be key.
Anything else from the board?
Just a reminder that we also need to communicate whatever we're doing with the Siskiyou Public Land Grazing Committee. That we have a standing committee.
Yeah, I know.
And they've been inactive for several years.
That might be a Joanne thing.
Yeah, what I'm thinking is that that template that you mentioned, Supervisor Kopsa, maybe we can, you, me, and Supervisor Harris, and maybe a few other individuals could get together and see how, once you get that template, see if we can try to work on distributing it or coming up with a plan.
And great, bring Grace into that. I mean, I think what information would be critical? But something that's easy to use for the ranching community so they don't have to think it up on their own.
Yes. So we can work on that and also talk about the mapping idea. Mm-hmm. So I'll set those meetings up.
And with regard to the range grazing committee, who's the chair on that, do you know?
Gary Rain. Mm.
So we might
kind of
heighten their... activity on this. How's that? Because I know from what our dialogue yesterday, we were on a tour and took Joanne out to get her feet on the ground to see, you know, what some of the ranchers are dealing with. And one of them indicated that, you know, what was it, 17 or 25 that didn't come home?
17
for sure. And they don't know what happened to them, and it's substantial, a substantial increase over what would normally occur, where maybe three would not come home, but 17 is a huge discrepancy.
Okay. Anything else? We did it. Thank you. Moving on to item G, in lieu of appointments.
Before you go there, so I just need to know, do Supervisor and, Harris and myself, are we still it on the wolf issue? How are we moving forward? Is that where we're at? I just need to kind of get an idea so that if there's something else out there with what we're dealing with and the committee that I'm on, I just want to be sure I'm giving all of the board information that I can.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. From what I recall, that the board selected Supervisor Harris and Supervisor Kopsa to be the connection to the Wolf matter. But I also know that we have Chair Obrin that is also being invited to attend Wolf meetings. So I think that's a discussion for the board as to how you handle that now and going future. Because that means three board members are...
Right, and we can't do that, right?
Well, you can, you know, I know that Supervisor Harris and Supervisor Kopsep, you're very much attending the same meetings, the same kind of discussions, whereas Chair Obrin, don't let me speak for you, Chair Obrin,
no.
But is being invited to
a separate
type of platform, so to speak. So that could cause some confusion, especially when we're trying to bring these matters before the board. So unless council has some advice, I think it's just up to the board to decide how you want to handle that. And you know, maybe Supervisor Kopsep or Supervisor Harris be invited to the meetings that Supervisor Obrin is being invited to.
It's at the board's discretion, but it may simplify it if you have two members
who represent the county on these matters and then bring it back to the board for a full board discussion. Again, it's at your discretion.
Well, they, both of the, those two districts were designated because that's primarily where the wolves were.
Correct.
Right. And these meetings have been strictly here and have been productive, and they've been kind of moved forward because there have been relationships that have been formed in the past. And they don't go against anything that you've already established. Not anything that can, I mean, it's not anything that Jim hasn't already spoken to today. That's why I really haven't spoken up. And of course, we can't talk about it outside of these walls either. And I respect that.
So I know on our committee with RCRC, Director Bonham has been invited. If he isn't able to attend, we're bringing in Secretary Crowfoot. So we're engaging as well as Paul Sousa, just so everybody's aware. And you've heard kind of the dialogue of where I'm headed, and the availability for, what other Western states have with regard to habitual livestock kills has been lethal take, and that's been reported here in the past when this first became an issue, from Karen Kovacs from Department of Fish and Game way back when, that, you know, other Western states, that was one of the tools they had in the toolbox. So,
well, and that's, I've been in contact with Supervisor Rowan from down south and with Paul Sousa, working to that means. It's very clear with speaking with both of those gentlemen, that U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is the avenue for relief. And if you actually speak to them, as much as they respect their counterparts at the state, there's no trust there. And the state's lack of action is very clear. Even at the Fish and Game Commission meeting, what was that, last Wednesday?
Yeah, where they had the Berkeley group.
Yeah, speaking with the representative from Berkeley in a private conversation, California Department of Fish and Wildlife is not even sharing all of the information with the Berkeley group that's supposed to be doing their study. So there's a lot here. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of deception. And, I mean, granted, CDFW has a lot of folks that are great people that work for them, but the direction of CDFW from the top is not great. And so I'm not saying that we shouldn't work with them at all, but putting all of our eggs in that basket is a grave error. I believe that we primarily need to work through U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, where there's a proven track record of remedy, and then secondly, work and maintain whatever relationship we can with CDFW as we move forward. And that's one reason why, you know, I recommended the task force. That way, obviously, they're still a part of the loop. They're still active in it. And I'm sure a bunch of the people that comprise that task force are fantastic people that want to see true remedy. The top of that outfit has proven that they don't. I mean, it's just a fact of life, and I'm not, you know, I'm not saying that they're terrible people, but it's, we have something that we have to get fixed, and we can't rely on people that have proven to be unreliable to get there. So, I mean, you know, as far as direction, like I said, I really want to move forward with this mapping idea, and obviously we'll have discussions about that. But I think our focus really needs to be U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service here and not so much CDFW.
Thank you. You should never let me talk.
one big thing you need to be aware of when you're comparing other states to ours that includes Sierra Valley, for example, Sierra County. We don't have any prey species. And most of the places that are using successful lethal take are having beneficial impact because they have other prey to eat. We don't. So how to measure a successful program that allows us to live with the wolves when they don't have anything to eat except for our livestock is going to be a little bit different going forward. You know, the carrying capacity that we have currently for our apex predators is basically livestock. You know, they try to live on our cows, and you know, that is a little bit different than the rest of the states. Okay, really wanted to point that out. When you're thinking about how to deal with this problem, make sure you include that in your calculations. Thank you.
There's one more comment. That made a suggestion. Maybe the first part of the year when we talk about committee assignments, we really start to define roles, because it's going to get really blurred at this point. Because like Michael and I have been the appointees of the California Fish and Wildlife for a very long time.
Yeah.
And we've been working hand in glove with them on most of the fish issues. Occasionally the wolf stuff creeps in to our meetings, but then you've got two other supervisors that are focused on wolves with that same agency. And then when we started invoking the Public Lands Grazing Committee, I've led that because of my past expertise, and most of the base properties in this county are in my district. So that's going to get messy too.
Well, and then Supervisor Kopseff and I are the two delegates for Fish and Game Commission now. So there's a lot of overlap here that, you know, it is a little tricky. So I do have one more question. We drive around this county all the time, up and down I-5, rest areas all over the place, Greenhorn Park, and see signs that say, watch out for rattlesnakes, watch out for bears, watch out for mountain lions. What's the criteria for that?
Who's putting them out?
who says we can't put up a sign at the rest area over at Grass Lake that says, watch out for wolves in the area? Who's to say that we can't put it on the side of Highway 97 that says, wolves in the area? Who's to say we can't start putting up signs?
Yeah. So, the state of California.
Well, the Park Service does it.
The Park, yeah. You know, whomever.
But we could do that on our own roads.
Well, I'm wondering, who were we making these maps for? What's the real reason behind going through all of
the mapping?
Yeah.
The mapping would be to be able to provide a database and evidence of the activity that's taking place.
We have that.
Where?
Well, we have all the GPS. We have the GIS stuff. We have the GPS. We have the collaring. Berkeley has it.
So right now,
the state has it.
There's no way to establish what's public safety risk and what's not.
Well, that's kind of my point, though, is where's the public safety risk definition for bears and mountain lions and everything else when there are signs all over the place, rattlesnakes, all of that? Why don't we just go put signs up?
Well,
we know there's a public safety risk.
But the problem is we have to allocate that issue to somebody like U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. So when, you know, one of the Martins have a wolf in their backyard 6 times in a month, we need to be able to show that. And we need to be able to show that those wolves are habituated, yeah, not wild.
Okay, but so we're looking at kind of two different things there. My whole thing is, I'm just saying we need to go put signs up to protect the public.
Oh, I don't disagree with you at all on that.
Protect the public at the rest areas and all those places. Can we look into that?
I don't support that only because then it's us when it's a state and federal
issue.
Well,
I'm just saying maybe it is a state and federal issue. Maybe we need to look into that.
And through the chair, Angela Davis, county administrator, I will be more than happy to assign that to Joanne Johnson to research the possibility of putting sign. I mean, we wouldn't be able to do it on state property or bed property or what have you, but I am sure that
she's saying, is that something else to kind of look into? Because
she will research the
sign. Signs all over the place. I'm not discounting your mapping. I'm just saying there's another way to promote this. So, okay, I'm done with that. Are we done with this?
Sure.
Can we move on?
We hope so.
Okay, we're going to move on. Okay. I'm going to put that down here. In lieu of appointments, we'll try it again.
Yes, this is an item that's been continued for the last couple of board meetings. At this point, I still need appointments in lieu of election for, let's start with Dunsmuir Fire Protection District, and I heard from Shirley May and Russell Elgin that are interested in serving.
I'll make the motion to reappoint them.
Second.
And this is Dunsmuir Fire. Alrighty, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Howell.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Popsev.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakman.
Aye.
Okay. So for Supervisor Harris, I did hear from Popco Fire Protection District. They listed four people that were interested via an email. And that is Popco Fire. To appoint them.
So I'm going to make a motion to. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll make a motion to appoint the.
The four.
The four. Yeah.
Second.
All right, Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Howell.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Popsev.
Aye.
And Supervisor Oakman.
Aye.
Did you hear anything from Butte Valley Fire?
Not yet. I'll be up there Wednesday, so there's a few
we've
people
got
I'll talk to.
One last time. To give this a try. Supervisor Cobbseff, did you hear from anybody from Grenada Fire?
No. Do you send anything out to them saying, hey,
the clerk did way back when it was ready for election.
Yeah.
But beyond that, we haven't.
Can you
then.
Send another one out? Just say, our.
I'd have to figure out what we need to do. Maybe just
do you,
contact the district and say.
I guess, and just ask.
Reminder,
and
the
if
way.
You want to copy me or send me the email, because I can't.
Okay.
I'm not sure who's on that board.
Right, so Grenada Fire, okay. And Butte Valley Fire. So, Supervisor Help, we have Hornbrook Fire, Callahan Water, and Sawyer's Bar Water.
Yeah, could you send me an email with the contacts, and I will contact them directly, because they're not responding.
Okay, regarding those three?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. We do have one last. I did double check since these terms don't expire till December 5th. We've got one more board meeting, December 2nd, absolute final date. After that, if they go without a quorum, there's a process to get somebody appointed, but it is a lengthy process, and it's not. They can't do business until that happens. So
it just always,
I know.
I guess is a frustration that they aren't aware of that issue.
Well, yeah, they were made aware, but I want to say
I know,
back.
But to me, it should be kind of a high priority for them because it could kill their board to where they can't even operate.
It will get to that point, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so those are the only ones I have at the moment, and if we could just continue those last little bit till the very last one, which would be December 2nd.
Okay.
And I think that's it for that.
We're done with 6G. We will recess as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors and convene as the Siskiyou Power Authority and entertain public comment in the room. Any online?
Showing none online.
We will open the floor for minute approval.
I've heard no corrections.
Move to approve.
Second.
We'll for vote.
Director Valenzuela.
Yep.
Director Howe?
Aye.
Director Harris?
Aye.
Director Popsev?
Aye.
And Director Oakren?
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou Power Authority and convene as the Siskiyou County Service Area 3. Open the floor for public comment. Any online?
Showing none online.
Thank you. And we have the Office of Emergency Services. Good morning.
Good morning, members of the board. Adam Heilman, Staff Service Analyst for Siskiyou County Office of Emergency Services. Today, before you is a proposal to obtain 10 AutoPulse devices, which are mechanical CPR devices. These devices replace the ones that are currently in the field that are reaching their end of life. With that end of life, currently there are no parts or service options available for them through the manufacturer. And in another 2 years, the adjunct devices, the AutoPulse bands that facilitate the CPR and the batteries will no longer be available. So this is a necessity if we are going to continue with having the mechanical CPR devices. As a EMT first responder, I can tell you, having used these devices, they make a world of difference when you have somebody in cardiac arrest. The ability to have continuous compressions while going downstairs, around corners, is invaluable. It's nearly impossible to perform CPR in those moments, and that's a very important factor in the process. While I don't have the specific numbers, there have been successful resuscitations and folks that have walked out of the hospital and continued living productive lives because of these devices. Originally, the original ones were purchased in April of 2009, and there was 4 of them initially purchased. Over time, that number grew. It was a gradual increase. At this point, the CSA 3 Advisory Board was thinking that due to budgetary constraints that we were going to have to kind of try to do a gradual conversion from the old devices to the new devices. Seoul has presented us with an opportunity where they will provide us with replacing all of the devices and defer the payments over a 6-year period, which all of us felt was a good option, and it saves some complications because it's not it's fairly common that a fire department will start CPR on their device and that device will stay with the patient and the battery needs to be swapped. And if the device that the fire department has isn't the identical device that the ambulance is carrying, now you have to take the device off, put the other one on. It just creates a much better situation. The advisory committee basically put together a subcommittee that did an analysis of the options. There's essentially 2 different options. One is a piston version that literally takes the place of the actual CPR. The Zoll version, which is what was ultimately selected, is a band that goes around and does a full compression and is what we've been using and what the group overwhelmingly felt was the better choice. The recommendation of the advisory committee, which was unanimous, was to request the board to pursue the agreement from Zoll and to obtain the 10 devices, which will go to the ambulances and the fire departments within the boundaries of CSA 3. And I will take any questions.
So where will they be located within CSA 3?
So Mount Shasta Ambulance will have them, McLeod Ambulance, Dunsmuir Fire Department, Weed Fire Department, Lake Shastina, McLeod Cal Fire, and Weed Cal Fire. And the ones that are at McLeod and Weed Cal Fire, when those engines are reassigned or go out of county, the device stays behind for the covering, so that it remains within CSA 3.
I didn't hear Mount Shasta or the Fire Protection District.
So Mount Shasta Fire Department originally had an auto pulse device, and because of the close location of Mount Shasta Ambulance, they were not ever using it. So that one got reassigned onto the Mount Shasta Ambulance in the original thing. So that was how that transpired.
Okay. So how many does Mount Shasta Ambulance have?
Mount Shasta Ambulance has four. I think two are in Mount Shasta, two are in Weed for the cars that
so
are staffed there.
So I know it's interesting you bring up the Mount Shasta Fire Protection District. I know they're the first responders to Lake Siskiyou and the campground.
Mm-hmm.
How does that affect Mount Shasta Ambulance versus, since the Fire Protection District is a first responder, what's the net result from that if they don't have a machine?
Again, the ambulance, Mount Shasta Fire Department obviously is a single unit now with the city and the district. And the ambulance typically will be even them out to Lake Siskiyou. So it was the determination of Mount Shasta Fire that it was more effective for that device to be housed by Mount Shasta Ambulance than themselves. That was a decision made by the fire department.
Because we give them $500 a year for this very thing. And if it's Mount Shasta Ambulance, it's first responder out there now, as much as I advocate for being able to fund them $500 a year, I'm lacking to see that. I was actually going to bump it to $1,000 for next year, or ask for that, but I'm a little... I don't understand.
I think they have a working agreement because the ambulance is, in theory, going to be the first responder out there for a medical.
Let me be clear that Mount Shasta Fire is responding. That has to change.
I get that. I know. But
it's just this particular piece of equipment, mm-hmm. because of the amount of use it was seeing, that determination was made by the administration of the Mount Shasta Fire Department.
So historically, I think Mount Shasta Ambulance had two.
In Mount Shasta.
Yeah,
and
two in Weed.
Correct.
Okay. Okay, I get it.
Does the Mount Shasta Ambulance that's contracted to Wairika also have one of these?
Can't have it.
It will not be funded by CSA 3. I believe they have these devices that were purchased by their company. Is my understanding, but I don't know that
these
for absolute certainty.
These can't leave CSA 3, because okay. They're taxpayer funded.
Okay. CSA 3 right. Funded.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
I'll move to approve.
Second.
All righty. Director Valenzuela.
Okay.
Director Howe.
Aye.
Director Harris.
Aye.
Director Kopsev.
Aye.
And Director Ogren.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we will adjourn as CSA 3 and convene as In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority. Is there any public comment in the room? Any online?
Showing none online.
Okay, go for minute approval for October 21st.
Move to approve.
Second.
All right, Director Valenzuela.
Mm-hmm.
Director Howe.
Aye.
Director Harris.
Aye.
Director Kopsev.
Aye.
And Director Ogren.
Aye. We'll adjourn as In-Home Supportive Services Public Authority, reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors, and move into item 10A.
All righty. We have an appointment, a request for an appointment to fill one of the vacancies on the Behavioral Health Services Board. This is one that had started back in January and was continued, I believe, in March. The Behavioral Health Services Board has heard from and recommended Officer James Elliott for appointment. and I do have his information here. Some of it was redacted in the agenda packet, but they are requesting. He works for Wairika Police Department and is the homeless liaison.
I will move to approve that.
Second.
Okay. And that was Mr. Elliott. Okay. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Haupt.
Yes.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsaff.
Aye.
And Supervisor Okra.
Aye. We'll be on to item 11A, minute approval for October 21st.
And heard no corrections for those either.
Move to approve.
Double.
I didn't get that.
Two of us.
Pick one?
Okay.
Then two.
Thank you. All righty. Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Harris.
Aye.
Supervisor Cobbsaff.
Aye.
And Supervisor Okra.
Aye.
Would it be possible maybe to take a quick break?
I was just going to ask that.
Joanne?